Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls. We're still chatting with Dr. Christian von Lehr, and of course, we're talking about the little people, the leprechauns, with you. And welcome back, Dr. Christian von Lehr, with us. And of course, we'll get to your calls in just a second as they line up for you, Christian.
Yes.
This is an incredible area, though. Just letting your mind wander about all these possibilities. It's absolutely invigorating, isn't it?
It is. What's interesting, though, is that basically, virtually anything is possible at some level, some realm. We just have a tight focus here in our physical existence. But it's sort of the basis of all spirituality and religions. If we open up to other things, what we thought was impossible becomes possible. We are the limiting factor. And so whether it's miracles, manifestations, finding relationships, solving problems at work, getting along with our relatives, all these things are doable things. Something got in the way.
When these miracles are performed by the leprechauns mm-hmm. to help us, do they come with any consequences? Do they come with any deals?
Like in the old stories. Well, it sort of ties into what your last question was in the last segment. Like, we could do things for them, like gifting them to show a kind of consideration, since they're basically traitors to begin with, like put out an old belt that needs to be fixed or a broken piece of jewelry, since they're essentially traitors. It shows, one, that you've acknowledged them, and that is the consideration that we're looking for. They just want some acknowledgement, but part of the acknowledgement is letting them know that you're getting the fact that they're helping you, see?
They like that, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, all nature spirits, all of them, by the way, have jobs. They want to have a purpose. They all have to do something. They won't even come into your household or make themselves known if they didn't have some job in mind of what they could do, the difference they could make. And usually it's something in your life. Like my computer doesn't work, or I don't have a car, or relationships. They'll come in some way to help you with those things, and that'll technically be their job, and it'll stay their job, by the way.
Interesting take. All right, let's take some calls here. We'll start with Greg in California on the wild card line. Hello, Greg. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yes, my name is Greg, and I'd like to ask your guest if he actually believes in faith healing, because I do, and I'd like to know exactly how he feels about someone that actually has taken HIV out of someone's blood through them, and I'm not a quack.
Okay.
Greg, are you the faith healer or just a witness?
I did it.
You did it. Okay.
October, I want to even say the thing. October 2005 in Oroville, California.
Now, do you practice faith healing on a regular basis,
no.
Or was this a one-time thing?
One-time thing, George.
What made you do it?
It's a long story. I am not a religious person. I received faith healing, it's a long story, when I was a kid, from being hit in the head and going unconscious. And I received the faith healing as a kid, and then as I grew up, it's a long, long story.
But you just decided to try this on somebody, and it worked.
Exactly.
And it worked. All right, Christian, go ahead.
And I'm not bluffing, George.
No, I think you're telling
totally
the truth.
I totally believe you, Greg. Now, all forms of spirituality, Greg, are higher than the physical human form, and in all those forms, we don't technically have illness. So illness is something that humans basically embrace. They actually think we need to have it. We need to age. We have to have DNA problems, all that. But if you can raise your vibration, which takes a kind of belief, by the way, which is why you're calling it faith healing, a belief in there has to be some answer out there that the present world isn't showing me, or doctors don't know, that type of thing. When you decide that the present solution isn't working and you reach out and beyond, then you allow these things, that, whatever force may be at play, to actually help you. We can actually help ourselves. We aren't destined at the end of time to be ill like we are now or to age like we are now. It's just a current circumstance. We have to learn to get beyond it. And so what you're demonstrating, Greg, is that people have a natural ability to in some way raise the vibration. If we want to call it a belief in something or someone, that's fine. It's just something outside of ourselves, something beyond our ego. When you allow that in, then you're going to get some result, okay? And it could be miraculous. If it turns out as miraculous as yours, there it's also saying that you weren't really destined to have that anyway. So if it isn't in your destiny, all the forces that play to help you would try to get you to where you should have been without that certain condition. So absolutely, I believe in faith healing, but other kinds of healing too. And you're just made a great example of how basically it saved your life, and so that shows you to what degree we can take this.
You are what you call, Christian, a clairvoyant medical intuitive. Tell us what that is.
Okay, it's analogous to clairvoyance, where clairvoyants can see an image, but a master clairvoyant and medical intuitive can see like 65 million shades of color. Most people tend to see and work with 200. But since all energy tends to vibrate to some shade of color, every condition, all knowledge, basically, all your thinking, also relates to a shade of color. So colors can actually act like a library of information. So if I'm going to use it in someone's human body, I'll use a trick where I'm going to pretend that they're nothing but glass. If anything starts showing up beyond the glass, then I know that there's something going on. And I can use gray to tell how long it happened. I can use the shades of green to tell them at what stage it is. And I can certainly see the locations of it. But and that's actually very accurate. I still, I read so many doctors and nurses, psychiatrists by the thousands, by the way. But it's actually a provable thing. It's very demonstrable. I do it virtually every day.
Like Edgar Cayce almost.
Very, very much like Edgar Cayce, except I don't sleep as much. I'd love to. It would be nice.
Sleep? What sleep?
Well, you know, the advantage of sleeping is basically, you know, when we go to sleep at night, we tend to be in the astral plane, another level of existence, 14 dimensions. A lot of things are possible compared to here. And so even in the past, a lot of people would sleep or put themselves out in some way to let that truer form come in unhindered. We don't tend to do that anymore, because we want more control over what we're doing. And it actually allows us to connect higher, too, like all the way to heaven, which is where inspiration could come from. Even in Greg's example, since it's faith healing, he's trying to go beyond the other side, which technically is just the astral plane. It's one level up. But that's enough to manifest any change in us. But he's actually trying to go to a third realm called heaven, basically, or the mental plane, an inspirational realm. And at that level, there's part of it. Once we get to a certain part of that plane, we don't have any illness whatsoever, not even an emotional illness. And so when we reach up there, it's sort of like meditating to a degree. When we change our vibration to match that realm of heaven, where illness doesn't occur, that improvement up there can trickle down. I would say that's probably how Jesus would have healed if that happened in the past. He would have went to some higher level of us and let it trickle down. And we've already proven in spirituality that happens. If we can affect ourselves at a higher level, it trickles down. It's like if I'm helping somebody in a coma, I'll actually go higher, like to the higher self, and let it work all its way all the way down. Or if I was trying to help someone that was a drug addict and can't talk well, I would even go beyond their normal abilities. But faith healing is actually only going up three levels, but spirit is actually much higher than that. But the point is, beyond the astral, we don't really even have issues. The astral plane, the one right up from us, is an emotional plane, however, extremely emotional, almost 100%. We're only half emotional. Hard to believe, right?
Yep, absolutely. Now, do some people have the ability to conjure up leprechauns more so than other people?
Absolutely. It's a lot of it plays to your youth, by the way. If when you're a child, which is when we're more naturally open to seeing like little people, things on the other side, I did obviously even as a child, as long as nobody's poo-pooing that or putting you down or saying that's wrong.
Well, and some parents do that, wrong.
It's very common. Yeah, it's very, very common, especially these days with autistic children, indigo children, people that are basically trying to function that way. Yeah, as long as we don't block that, we have access to those abilities. That's one of the dreadful things, I should say, of like with autistic children. I have no problem communicating with them, but I just talk to them like, what's the name of your pet rock? You know, that type of thing. As long as I'm on the same wavelength, they have no problem communicating. But technically, I shouldn't say conjure, it's not the right word in this particular case.
Manifest.
If we allow ourselves to connect at their level, they'll come down a little bit, we go up a little bit, somewhere in the middle we meet, and then we start working together. But that addresses another question you had before. Technically, leprechauns and nature spirits are like co-creators in the universe with us. It isn't just us in heaven. They act like an agency that's available to us to bring about solutions, see?
Okay, let's go to Donald in Hollywood, Florida, east of the Rockies. Hi, Donald.
Yes, George. Hello, Dr. Christian.
Hi there.
So, very interesting show. My background is from Dublin, Ireland, all my people.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard all the stories.
Were you a believer, Donald, when you heard these stories? Did you believe it?
Well, of course not.
they're just
stories. But I'm older now, and I've had spiritual experiences in my life, and I've had experiences with leprechauns that, you know, were like, my question is, are they evil or are they a good entity?
Okay, let me answer it this way, Donald. Just as humans are connected to our higher form of us, which would be spirit, that would be way, 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 way high, okay? The highest thing a human can connect with and still be an individual would be spirit. It's extremely high, not just the other side. Well, analogous to that are nature spirits and angels. So angels and nature spirits go hand in hand. When an angel wants to become manifest, the way they start that is through the form of nature spirits. It's only after that that they can ever become human, by the way. And angels and nature spirits are both taking the long way around the circle of evolution. Only humans took the fast way. We started in the middle, basically, or around there. So they have to be good because, as I mentioned earlier, evil and negativity has to relate to density. And our bodies are dense, but theirs are not. So they haven't got the means, by the way, to be evil, even make a negative thought. They'll actually make something else out of it. So no, they're not negative, they're not evil, and they can't be. But there are other kinds of life out there, thousands and thousands of kinds of life. There's also aliens, by the way, and there's aliens on the other side, and nature spirits see them. There's many things out there, so your experiences can be varied. But I will tell you that because of the negativity that's inherent in humans, we will tend to lean towards negativity. We see this problem a lot with psychics. You have to learn to filter so that you're only bringing in those good things, those positive things.
Reuben is in Long Beach, California now. First-time caller. Reuben, take it away.
Yes, George and Doctor.
Hello.
Nice talking to you. Yes, I'm sensitive, and I go out to haunted places for many years, and I use a pendulum to do contact ghosts and spirits. And I live not too far from Devil's Gate, so I went over there trying to investigate, see if there's some portals, and see if I could see something and hear things. And I was on a path up there. I've gone there many times hiking, and I got a good energy pull, and there's nothing up there. So I asked, is it a ghost, spirit, is it a furry, you know, who am I talking to? And it was moving pretty good. And then I asked, do I know who you are? And it said yes. And then, are you a leprechaun? And the pendulum was just swinging really good. Really, it was a little cliff, a little mountain, and it's well-traveled by people there. So I started communicating, asking questions and things, and I was communicating. And the last 2 years I've been going up there, and it talks to me with the pendulum. I hadn't seen it, but one time I brought a leprechaun, a little one I bought at one of the stores, and I brought it up by the mountain up there inside, and I said, does this look like you? And basically, I didn't see it, but I could see it was grass, you know, like weeds, but I could see it. I could see, like, imprints. And I was watching. I could see the imprints. It came all the way up to the leprechaun. And then it told me, no, this does not look like me. So I didn't see. My question is, I didn't see it. Can they be, like, invisible? And I had parents, my aunts, and uncle seen a leprechaun in Arizona back in the 20s. So it was a story, and I believe in it when they told me. So maybe I was drawn to it, or maybe Devil's Gate, the energy there, it's pretty high. So do they, a lot of times, do they can communicate without you seeing them with energy? And I use a pendulum, and I've gone up there, and every time I go up there and I communicate, and they say, you're my friend. So I kind of trust them because I've been doing this a long time with spirits, but is it kind of the same? Because they told me be careful, because you might be something else there. But I've been going like two, three years, so I'm pretty sure it's a positive energy.
Okay,
could you answer this?
Sure. Actually, there are a number of questions there. I'll do them all individually. First of all, if it was actually a leprechaun or a gnome, they would have had you turn the statue over to see if it was made in China. That's a big thing with them. if they said it's made in China, then you know it's them, just, you know. But just a weird thing with them. They think everything comes from China that's made.
Well, they're right.
Yeah. So the key thing, though, it's Reuben, correct, I believe? Yeah. The key thing that you're mentioning is that you used a pendulum and that you weren't using a visual means. All right. So the pendulum, like tarot, scrying, things like that, do not filter. So they allow basically anything that's out there to make a connection with you. And whatever's making connection with you will have some relevance to you or your level of energy, your belief system, even your fears. So you're not filtering. So it's not the highest modality to use. So that's the first thing you have to know going in. So it's a good reason you're asking the question. What I did is I took a look at what's going on around you, since I can do clairvoyance at a distance, and basically you're connecting with life on the other side. So it would be very much like what you want to call ghost, or life that has passed over. And they do tend to be playful and a little trickstery, things of that nature, to try and encourage you to go further. But I want to put a positive slant on that. It has to be saying that there's something inside of you, Reuben, that has a natural potential to be connected with life beyond the physical realm. Whether it's spirits on the other side, archangels, angels, nature spirits, any of those things are all within your potential, see? So what you want to do is keep asking them to somehow prove themselves to you as opposed to you taking them tests. They have to do something on their own volition. If they're not doing something that they created or on their own volition, then you can almost be certain that it's just life that has passed over that doesn't really want to evolve yet, so they're evolving slowly, clinging to the earth, right? And the fact that you're drawn to spirits and what you're calling ghosts, by the way, a ghost is technically just our etheric body. When we die, we tend to go into our etheric body first, which is our health aura. Then we go to the other side. So we're actually hanging around here in the same energy that nature spirits would be in, by the way. And we can literally see that etheric energy, it's called, and that's what ghosts and doppelgangers tend to be. But they have to be saying that when you were a child, Reuben, you had the ability to perceive them. Someone probably blocked them. George and I were just talking about that. And so the positive slant is technically we're getting a confirmation that you have the ability in there to perceive life in other realms, but many other realms, and you should work towards that. What I'd like you to do in the future is put down your pendulum or any tool or device you're using and then try and have a direct connection. And I want you to widen your eyes by just focusing on something maybe 4 inches off a plant or a leaf. And that will tend to use the outer part of your eye, which is what you need to use. That white part has rods in it, not cones that are triangular. And those rods actually perceive energy in different realms. It's actually how we train someone to be clairvoyant. But those rods, and that's a scientific fact, detect motion and energy, and you're trying to communicate with something of energy. If you want to connect with the life, lighter than ours, you're going to have to use the outer part of our eyes. You think you can do that?
I think you'll give it a try.
Okay.
And, Christian, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with final phone calls with you. Fast night, unbelievably fast. Our special guest, Dr. Christian Vonlaer. He's got some lectures popping up all over the place. I'll have him tell you where he's going to be in case you want to come by and take a little glance at some of the things that he does. And his website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. It's Christian Torren, Torren.LA. Well, next hour, we're going to talk about the Star Child skull. Remember the late Lloyd Pye? This is an incredible story. Plus, the owner of the skull will join us as well. And welcome back to Coast with Dr. Christian Vonlaer. And Christian, before we go back to final calls, tell us about some of your upcoming events.
Oh, wonderful. One that pertains to what we're talking about just in the last conversation was unlocking the Soulmate Mystery, and more importantly, the Sojourn of the Numinous, two lectures that will eventually become books. I don't tend to write a book until I've done a number of lectures across the country that proves all my point. But in Sojourn of the Numinous, it really talks about the soul and the traveling between all the different realms of existence. But in this particular lecture, and I'm doing one in like 2 days in L.A., we actually show life in all the different realms. So I'm trying to say, first of all, that all things spiritually are provable and demonstrable. So people will actually see life on the other side, for example, or in heaven. It's a group of like-minded people, so that helps. The energy is on the same wavelength. And, of course, this is difficult to do on television because people's minds get in the way. But in this kind of a setting, I will explain all the different realms, and I'll show you how we get there and what it looks like. The other one, the Unlocking the Soulmate Mystery, I found, and I'm surprised that the world hasn't known this, that we used to know how to find soulmates, and it was very specific. right down to the date, the hour, the name, the location. And I bring that method to bear as I explain how we find soulmates and show people interesting facts about themselves that will help them find that. And, of course, the Nature People Are Real seminar, also very big. Right now, that sojourn of the numinous is the biggest draw. People want to see life in the other realms or have proof that other things exist. Sometimes we even bring in ascended masters, but all the audience has to see them. It's not just something I want to lecture on. They have to get visual proof. So those are the lectures I'm doing all over the country, in addition to the typical spirituality things I do, the clairvoyance, the medical intuition, and mentoring.
All right, very good. And you seem to enjoy doing that, Christian.
Yeah, it's like my life now, huh?
Okay, and full results on your website?
Yes. So, the website is christiantoren.la, and our books are on there, right in the top left-hand corner. If you could only see, Seen and Sensing Gnomes, The Magic of Gnomes and Leprechauns, and Magical Powers and Mystical Beings, this last one pertains very much to the questions we've had today.
Okay, back to the calls. Let's go west now. Tricia in Delhi, California. Good morning, Tricia. You're up with us.
Hello.
Hi.
Good Tricia. Evening, gentlemen. I have a question for Christian. Hold on, let me put my phone off and speak. All right. So you're speaking a lot about the very positive side of what would be considered the fae, I take it?
Yes.
Okay. So what is your, do you study Celtic legends and stuff like that?
Do I study? I'm sorry, what was the word?
Do you study Celtic legends?
All of the old legends, all the old mythologies are part of nature spirits and that form of life. It exists all over the world. We call it different things. But basically, any faith, any belief system, if we go back far enough, it'll become an esoteric teaching. Even religion, Christianity was esoteric. But all the old belief systems spoke of nature spirits.
Well, I have some particular interest in stories about, like, the Talfin Adon. Or Donna, that came to Ireland from the West in the silver ships that flew over the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I was interested in what your take is on the Unseelie Court. You're mentioning a lot of what would be considered Seelie Fae, which are the helpful good guys, but you're not talking any about bad guys that people really need to be aware of.
Well, I don't believe that there are negative nature spirits. I don't believe it's possible, Tricia. I believe because there are many, many kinds of existence out there, that based on the nature in any particular human, you'll connect to what you resonate with. And humans, you have to allow one thing. Humans tend to be the most negative form of existence. So until we filter, learn to raise a vibration, we won't necessarily relate to the positive like I'm speaking to. But if you don't learn to do that, you will just tend to reinforce and draw the negative. So when someone learns to actually basically raise the vibration, raise their own nature to be connecting positive, we actually don't even get negative anymore. But to your question directly, you have to accept, I guess, that there are many kinds of life and many, many, many kinds of nature spirits in the thousands, just you know. But you have to understand, too, esoterically, that because they haven't evolved to the point of our density, they cannot be negative. So you have to be bringing in other things that may look like them, act like them, and you might not even be able to tell the difference, but I wouldn't call them nature spirits. I might call them elementals or other things, and that would be my take on what you would be calling negative. Now, all nature spirits, all life forms, tend to have a positiveness because they have a purpose to bring about some change in motion. Life has to be in motion. Life has to be building. Life has to be growing. It has to end up positively. I technically started out that way, too. So whatever we call negative is something in between, and that's that duality in life, by the way. We have to try and get away from the negative side to the positive side, or we're not really growing. We're just repeating something inside of us.
But you do believe in evil, don't you, Christian?
Absolutely.
That it is out there.
Absolutely, there's evil. It's as much evil as there's positive, okay? And that's, again, why we have an evolution in life, is to try and work around that. As of 2012, we've only come half circle, so we're still very easily in touch with evil and negativity. But something that I think is essential for people to understand is whatever we connect with out there, whether it's evil, good, magic, anything, there has to be something within us that correlates. These things don't happen on their own. Even the possession that you mentioned you were doing a show on, there has to be something inside of a person that allows that to occur. Probably guilt in that example. And so what we reach out to and connect with beyond ourselves in some way correlates to something within us. And often when people speak of these denser forms of existence, which I'll probably call elementals, because they're analogous to magic and many physical manifestations that have occurred in the past, they were relating to the human life at those times when they were recorded. And back a long time ago, where these stories come from, life was kind of barbaric and kind of hard and difficult. And so that was the nature and start of it, so that's what we connected with. But yes, evil exists.
Let's go back to the calls. Thomas is in La Jolla, California. Hello, Thomas. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call. And Dr. Christian, it's a real honor and a privilege.
Thank you.
My question, I believe that the nature spirits have real answers, miraculous answers to cleaning up the environment, and specifically things like oil spills in the Gulf of Mexico or the nuclear disaster in Fukushima or the drought here on the west coast of the United States or chemtrail spraying, geoengineering, electromagnetic pollution, and even, oil, like here in Southern California in Los Angeles.
You got everything in there but cell phones.
Right, cell phones. And I was wondering, is it possible for humanity to partner with the nature spirits to work in these and bring real answers and real miraculous solutions to the table?
Yes, actually you said the key word there, partner. Nature spirits want to co-create with us and partner with us. Now they say that, I think it's in the book too, they tend to say that they will inherit the earth at some particular point in time. So they would like us to leave it in a good condition. But also, what exists in this earth, the rocks, the minerals, the trees, the plants, all of those are forms of life too. And so we are actually impacting on them. We are overtaking them with our own desires, for example, for oil or for building. So they want us to leave it in a good condition. Yes, they can help us. But when you partner with them, I believe it was Sullivan, you're basically on the same vibration with them. And because they communicate telepathically, they can give you information you might not have seen otherwise, because their abilities can capture that information easier than you can. And so they will direct you to the answers and direct you to the solutions, both with the impulses they put on you, but also they suddenly make you aware of something you didn't see before. So they have a vested interest in you accomplishing exactly what your question is about. And it kind of makes sense that if we don't start doing something like that, it's only a matter of time before we don't have a world to live in, right?
These little leprechauns, Christian, they're all clothed, aren't they? Where do they get their clothes and stuff like that?
Well, they actually work together. Fairies tend to make most of the clothes for nature spirits, although leprechauns tend to be the leather workers. So they like to make the belts and some kinds of the vests. But actually, they very much mimic human life, probably because they are by nature mimicking. And if we were here, they might not do it this way. But yes, they make clothes. Sometimes it's out of spider web. Sometimes it's out of energy. A lot of it, like the vest on a leprechaun, is actually sort of an energetic vest. It isn't actually made from a material that we would use. And also, since the other realms, including theirs, which is a little above us, have other types of matter, they can use that to make it also, which tends to add a little magical quality to it. Most people don't realize that the vest in a leprechaun is just about as magical as the gold pot that they carry around.
Okay, let's go to Beverly Truck Driving in Louisiana, east of the Rockies. Hi, Bev, go ahead.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I just got a story about my grandpa growing up. He was a Baptist preacher, and he planted like three gardens. He had a 66-acre farm, and he would go out in the garden, and he would sit, and he would talk to God, and he would talk, just to everything, nature. He was just so in tune. And we'd help him harvest, pick things out of the garden. And he'd always tell us, always leave something. Don't pick everything in the garden because you have to leave it. And he would call them the little ones.
Right.
And he always said that these have been with him since he was born. And by the way, his parents came from Ireland.
Okay.
So, how about that?
And he was so in tune with these people. I guess because they've been with him all his life. But, his cattle, his dogs, everything was in such sweet harmony. And this one little instance that my grandfather had a stroke out by his barn, and it was pouring down rain, and all his cattle stood over him so the rain could not get on him because he was laying face up, while the bull went bellowing, getting my grandmother's attention. And I will never forget that. Yep. I just think it all comes back to these little people
yep.
helping him out.
It's all very amazing. I like the fact that he was Irish, because something in his DNA predisposes him to accept that kind of life, which probably has helped him in this particular case. You mentioned an interesting word there, Beverly. You said harmony. Hasn't come up tonight, but in essence, that's the kind of work that nature spirits are doing. They're trying to get things back in the balance that they should be in, because humans tend to upset the natural balance of things. When things are in balance, they're in harmony. When they're in harmony, then we progress. So in a way, that's a function of life. The fact that the cattle stood over him, or that animals could be affected, that's plays to the other ability that nature spirits leprechauns have to use mental telepathy. Animals happen to have that as well. Like dogs can sometimes understand what you're thinking. As long as you can make simple one or two word sentences, then animals will respond to you. That's also how you teach them or train them. So something going on with the energy of your I think it was your grandfather you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Plus his thoughts actually drew them to him. And basically that's help, or him reaching out, praying to God. This just happened to be what answered him, what was close to him, see? And actually he got help. But that actually proves to him or gives him validation that spiritually he's being helped. That's an example of the proof that George was talking about earlier. It also suggests, like two or three callers ago, that the grandfather also, as a child, had the ability to see and perceive. So since we work with the subconscious mind as a child, not the conscious mind, we didn't actually have that till around 7 to 10, it became real enough for him that he believed, innately knew that it was true. And so he called on something that's true. That subconscious in us, which most people don't use, is technically what runs everybody. We're all around 10 years old or less. It just depends on what got in there. So he had an advantage, but your story is really inspirational in that it tells other people that when you have children, if they're seeing something or experiencing something, just ask them to explain it. Allow them to express themselves. Don't put it down, and ask them to explain the difference, how it feels or what it means to them. Get some value out of it. But your grandfather could also be teaching you a lesson, Beverly, a way to conduct your life or to have faith or believe beyond the limitations of the physical existence.
All right, let's take another call or two. Agnes in Houston, Texas, is now with us. Hello, Agnes.
Oh, my gosh. I was on hold so long.
Yes.
I've got one minute left on my prepaid phone.
All right, go for it.
It's really fast.
Go for it.
First of all, Christian, we know that that's a spiritual name. Lair is a derivative from Latin, which is to see. So you are obviously a seer. And just to let everybody know, the prefrontal lobe injuries people are the ones that end up having some sort of a jolting effect where they are able to have that clairvoyant issue. And also disease, it's mispronounced. It's really disease with oneself. So over 85% of the people going to the hospital, if it's not a medication issue or an accident, is usually some uneasiness within oneself. So we'd like to know how everything had occurred, that it just came as an epiphany for you to be able to help everybody. And hey, God bless you guys.
Thank
you. I don't have any time left. Please share with us.
Okay.
And give me some feedback on what I've told you.
Okay. First of all, you're correct. I was a seer in the past, S-E-E-R, so I could see the outcome of wars, which is great because it earns lots of karma since I saved so many lives. That's why I have some advantages. Now, there's an organ, and there's actually four little tiny organs in the brain, the one called the pineal gland, kind of moves a little bit. It actually represents the serpent on the headdress of like Cleopatra, for example. They were very drawn to the other side. But that's actually where clairvoyance comes from. We actually see across time or distance. And it technically sort of moves. And at one time, spirituality would say that that was the only eye we had before we have the two physical ones we have now. And yes, the whole purpose of physical existence is to learn to get beyond the limitations of physical existence. We do not have to be ill. We allow ourselves to be, but it's also programmed in us, like in our DNA. We sort of learn to do that. We think that has to happen. But in so doing, we're creating a bigger problem for us, but it's simply a problem that we will overcome in time. As we reach the limitations of of medicine and science, we have to reach out, and that tends to always trump the sentences that we get in the medical profession. I was one of those, by the way. I was told I was going to die by at least 10 or 20 doctors at one time, a long time ago, when I was run over. And I'm saying, but geez, I see myself writing books down the road. I could even give you the titles, you know? And so I would laugh at them. They thought it was crazy. But because it was a young experience before age 10 with me, that I could see these things, it was the strongest feeling inside of me, like the last Baptist preacher that someone mentioned, all right? So that innate feeling inside of us is related to that pineal gland, those tiny organs in the brain, and it allows us to overcome what you're calling the dis-ease.
So, Christian, as we wrap things up, 30 seconds to go, if someone sees a leprechaun, what do they do?
Well, first of all, you must acknowledge anything that you see that seems out of the ordinary, because you're always in conflict with this person, with your own subconscious mind. You have a conscious mind and a subconscious mind. If you just say, I saw something, without needing the explanation, then you're at least telling your subconscious mind to let it show itself stronger, more evidently in the future. But you should always say something as well, because you don't know if you're seeing a nature, spirit, or life on the other side. But if you ask a question and say, I see you, then you can get a response. But ask them something, ask them to prove themselves. And also, it means you have that advantage of being able to relate to them. So they are there to help you in their life, or they wouldn't be around you to begin with. So they must want to serve some purpose for you. You might as well ask or convey what it is you would like or what you need in life, and they should be responding.
Well, I've never seen one, but I'd like to. Up next, we're going to talk about the Starchild skull on Coast to Coast AM.